Hello and welcome to the 14th annual Super Bowl of Preaching pregame show. We're going to bring you an exclusive and in-depth analysis of today's game.
That's right, it's in-depth because we have way too much time on our hands, and it's exclusive because no one else cares.
True it is. That's right, I'm your pregame show anchor, Matt Welty. I've got with me our analyst, Paco. He's the director of Big, an epic night for students grades 6 through 12, and our own campus pastor of our Uptown campus, Lena Tome.
That's right, guys. Today's going to be an epic matchup. We have 20-year veteran Birdman Brian Tome taking on 10-year vet Chuck 2 Chainz Mingo in an epic, epic matchup today.
That's right. Before we dive into our competitors today, we've got a whole slew of topics to cover.
A whole slew. Some are even relevant.
Some.
It's true. First up, referee. Referee for today's match is our own campus pastor of the Florence campus, Mr. Terry Phillips. This will be his fifth year reffing the match and keeping things civil.
Yeah, keeping things civil. Good luck with that one, Terry.
Am I right?
No, he has a lot of flack on him from last year's game, throwing the flag a little early. We're going to see how that translates to this year.
Totally agree. You know, I've been looking. Is he working out?
I don't think so. I think he's just wearing smaller shirts and tighter pants.
Yeah, that makes sense.
True.
Okay. Well, commenting for us today are campus pastors Mark Stetcher and Greg McElfrish.
Yeah, you know, Greg, the campus pastor on the west side, he likes to call it the best side.
I've heard that. He's mentioned it once or twice or 12 times.
Yeah, you know, I don't really understand this best side stuff. What's the best side mean?
You know, I don't know, but I do know he is working on a new variation of cornhole.
Huh.
Yeah. See, it's a smaller hole, but it's a bigger bag.
Stop.
So what
Please
happens
stop.
Is the
stop.
Gravitation.
Stop.
Okay.
All
okay.
right. Well, moving on to Mark Stetcher. He's no stranger to the preaching game. This is actually Mark's sixth year as campus pastor up in Mason.
That's right.
You know, I'm really excited about Crossroads Mason, and I want to say congrats to Crossroads Mason on your one-year anniversary in a brand new permanent building.
Well done, guys.
Congratulations, Mason. You know, some people say that Mark is the proverbial yin to Greg's yang.
To the what?
His
no,
yang.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
True. See?
Well, hey, folks, you can follow all of the action on social media this weekend. You can like Crossroads on Facebook. You can use the hashtag Tome versus Mingo anywhere you would normally put pictures of dinner or your cat wearing a mustache.
Okay, other than that, social media is going to be a great way to connect to people all over the world
That's
today
right.
that are part of the Super Bowl of Preaching.
That's right. It's also a great way to invite friends who couldn't make it out to today's big game.
That's right. We have 8 services left. So if there's anyone who's not with you right now, you need to text them. Send them the link, live.crossroads.net. They can attend online any service this weekend.
You know what? Speaking of, it is a really monumental day today because this is the first ever in the 14-year Super Bowl of Preaching history
yep.
that we have Crossroads Anywhere, where we have the ability for people all over the world to be able to be part of the game today.
That's right.
And special shout out to our people watching in California right now. And if you're watching on Crossroads Anywhere, you have a unique opportunity because just a second, you're going to have a chance to send in random phrases that are actually going to be used in today's Super Bowl of Preaching.
Wait.
Sounds risky.
You mean the people from Crossroads Anywhere are going to be able to come up with their very own phrases that Chuck and Brian will actually use today?
Yeah, but let's be honest. The inappropriate ones, they were going to use anyway.
That's true.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting stat for 2015. Crossroads was named the fastest growing church in the country this past year. And Crossroads Anywhere is going to be a really big part of that this coming year.
So, Crossroads Anywhere. You say anywhere. Are there some places that maybe Crossroads shouldn't be?
Bathroom.
Putting green.
Funeral home.
Courtroom.
Nursery.
Now, is it a baby nursery or is it a tree nursery?
Because
moving on to our senior pastor, Brian Tome.
That's right. Tome has had unbelievable 2015, riding the proverbial preaching pony. You know, some people say he's gotten worse over time. I think he's aging like a fine wine.
Wow.
Or a can of Yingling left out in the sun.
Yeah.
I think he'd prefer that one. You know, he's been working a lot with entrepreneurs this year. He's been putting his time into unpolished. And people are asking, is he losing his focus?
You know, I've been wondering myself if he's going to start a business of his own.
Hmm.
And if he did, what do you think it would be?
Motorcycle shop, probably.
Hunting shop.
Cycle hunting shop.
I think he'd make his own plaid.
Vintage turtleneck clothing store.
You know what? I just noticed a striking similarity between our co-host Lena Tome and our senior pastor Brian Tome.
Wow, that's really weird. I get that all the time.
Huh.
We hardly know each other though.
That is weird, being that you guys have the same last name. Not the same one.
Some might say.
Huh.
Well, Brian's competition this year. Now, I know we say this every year, but but Chuck has been on top of his game in 2015.
You know, top of his preaching and singing game.
That's right.
Just might break out into song at any moment. We never know when it's going to happen. And another year of Chuck Mingo means another year of unprompted, unsolicited, and let's be honest, sometimes unnerving singing.
Yeah, 2015 has brought a lot of consistency to Chuck's game. Every time he's up there, we're positive we can get at least one R&B reference, at least 17 pictures of his wife and kids, and at least 200 to 700 mentions of his personal best marathon time.
Speaking of marathon times, I think that if Chuck Mingo decided to preach while running a marathon and holding a kid and singing, we'd be out of here in 15 minutes flat.
I believe it. I mean, the singing is one thing, but the thing this guy won't stop doing, smiling.
He really does have a beautiful smile.
He smiles more than a baby filling his diaper.
His pearly whites see more sunlight than an Alaskan summer.
His smile is shinier than the top of his head.
You know, this guy's got more cheese than a Wisconsin cheddar convention.
I hear his dentist calls him for advice.
You know, his teeth are so white. They're whiter than a cul-de-sac.
Well, here we go, guys. We're running out of time. Sorry to cut you off, Paco. Give me the predictions. Who do you think's going to win today's big game?
Oh, man, my money this year. You know, the game's all about pressure.
Yeah.
Nothing provides more pressure than skinny jeans, so I got my money on Tone.
All right.
Really? See, I am going to have to disagree with you, Paco. I think that Chuck is going to break into song. Brian's going to start doing some kind of new break dancing he's been trying out recently. Get a penalty. He's going to lose. Mingo will win by 3.
Yeah. Well, I think all of your predictions are wrong, and yet I'm going to agree with one of you because I think it's going to come down to the refereeing today. Huh. I think Terry Phillips is going to call a game that's going to result in Brian Tome winning by 8 points.
By 8
yep.
points.
That's it's true.
That's
well,
a lot.
Well, folks, here we go. Grab a soda, grab your popcorn, get in your seat because we're about to start the 14th annual Super Bowl of Preaching. Have a great game.
Hide the hot dogs! Crossroads fans, welcome to the 14th annual Super Bowl of Preaching! Come on!
Bronco fans, let's hear you.
There it is.
Bronco fans, give it up. Let's hear you. Panthers, come on. Anybody left for Bengals?
There they are.
Next year. Welcome, everyone. My name's Mark Stetcher. I'm the host today, and I am alongside my esteemed colleague, the Westside Campus Pastor, Greg McElfrish.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Mark. You know, today we've got an epic battle of biblical truth and complete and utter irreverence. You may be sitting here wondering, how in the world did I end up in church on Super Bowl weekend? Regardless, you're an Oakley Mason in California. Welcome to the Super Bowl of Preaching. We are so glad that you are here. Folks, what you're about to see today should have gotten this place shut down years ago.
And now is the time for everybody who's made it, regardless of where your assigned seat may be, to stand up and move to the center, squish for us. We know that we're about to open up to our friends who are not assigned yet. It is time now. I want to see people get up and
Seriously,
move to the center of your sections. There's no buffer seats needed. Get up and move to the middle.
And now's the time. If you're here and you're on standby or don't have a ticket, all seats are now fair game. So come on in, friends. Grab a seat.
It is time. We have a huge game in front of us between two terrific veterans. We've got 14 years that our senior pastor, Brian Tome, has been doing this, and it is our ninth year for Chuck Mingo. It is a great matchup setup for some excitement.
That's right, folks. And if you're new around here, there are a few key elements you should understand about today's players. Right, Mark?
It is. First off, our senior pastor, Brian Tome, he's had a phenomenal year, leading, at least to the best of his knowledge, an $88 million campaign for the I'm In campaign. Tremendous momentum coming in off of that. And then to do the awaited show and lead 91,000 people coming to see a Christmas show. Tremendous year by Brian.
That's right. Brian certainly did have a great year on and off the field, but there's still a lot of room for Oakley campus pastor Chuck Mingo, the perennial crowd favorite. This year, putting a lot of energy into Undivided, bringing conversation around racial reconciliation in our city. It's been taking a lot of his time. We'll see what kind of energy he has coming into today's game.
Both competitors have been training really, really hard. I know it's been a ton of prep. And we have someone down, our esteemed and star sideline reporter, Solomon Wilcots, to go and visit with the players and give us some insights. Solomon, to you.
Thanks, guys. The air hangs heavy with the aroma of freshly brewed coffee and popcorn as competitors Brian Tome and Chuck Mingo wait poised to take the field of battle on this, the 14th annual Super Bowl of Preaching. Having actually been on the sidelines during the actual real-life Super Bowl, I can tell you there are a lot of similarities to the atmosphere here at Crossroads today. Now, I can't think of any of those similarities right now, but I can assure you they do exist. Because when two preachers duel it out under the lights, mano a mano, almost anything can happen. Anything except a real football game, that is. Now, I sat down with both men to more fully understand what it means to preach against a rival.
Well, Chuck, welcome back. Are you fit and ready? You look like you're ready to go.
Man, I've never felt more ready, Solomon, man. It's good to see you too, man. Thanks for coming back and doing this year.
Well, thank you. How have you been preparing for the big game?
Well, one of the things that I do kind of as a ritual for me is leading up to this game, I grow the biggest beard possible. And then I take a razor and I shave the beard off completely. And Solomon, here's the thing. I do that every day.
Oh, that's very impressive. Now, what is your opponent's biggest weakness and how do you exploit it?
Come on. Brian Tome is a 50-year-old man that shops at Hollister. His son doesn't even shop at Hollister anymore. I mean, that exploits itself.
Give it up. What's your secret weapon?
Solomon, it's not really a secret. I use the Bible. I actually read and use the Bible in my preaching. And not only that, I actually try to do what it says.
Do you ever feel like you're a little too nice for this game?
No. In fact, that's a stupid question. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be nice.
Who inspires you the most?
Boy, I'm inspired by a lot of people. But mostly Jesus. Yeah, Jesus inspires me the most.
Why?
I think about Jesus, and I think about all of the things that he had to face. All of the critics that he faced. All of the challenges that he faced. And the fact that, you know, he was willing to go through that because the cause that he was about was bigger. Man, it's great. In fact, today we're talking about this whole idea of religion versus relationship. And the truth is, Jesus was as anti-religion as you can be. And the reason was because he came for relationships. So yeah, I am very inspired by Jesus.
And looking back, what has been your biggest challenge this preaching season?
Solly, it's been an interesting year for me. I think in a lot of ways, this year I've expanded my leadership around here through things like Undivided and other things that I've been doing. So one of the challenges for me in preaching has been having enough space and time to stay fresh in my relationship with God, to stay fresh and connected to what people are really dealing with in their everyday lives around Crossroads. So that's one for sure. And I think another one for me has been recognizing that I don't need to come with a fully baked message every time. I want to leave some room for what God might want to do. And I think this year I tried to practice that. I tried to practice coming with the 80% and letting God fill in the 20%, or quite frankly, letting God fill in the 100% that comes out of what I think I've prepared. So I think those are the two challenges. And honestly, I'm excited about how that's going to play out in the game today.
Chuck, if you were a real athlete, what would that be like?
What kind of question is that?
I mean, I'm just asking, is that a Lululemon jersey you're wearing right now?
You want to go? You want to arm wrestle or something?
Let's go. Bring it right now. Come on, let's do it.
I was just kidding, Sal.
Well, Chuck, you've been at this for quite some time. Are there any injuries that are holding you back?
Hey, Solomon, you're a high-level athlete like me. There's always something I'm nursing. I mean, I bit my tongue the other day. It still hurts. You know, like when you still feel it in your mouth? I mean, for sure. I haven't been as regular as I want to be. A little constipation, you know. And I got this, in fact, I have a rash. You want to see this rash now?
You know what? That's enough. I think you'll be fine.
All right.
So what is this year's catchphrase?
Watch me whip. Watch me nay-nay.
Well, Brian, hey, you look fit. You look ready to go. And you're back once again. Welcome back.
Hey, Zaliman, it is amazing to be back. I look forward to this every year, ready to get my game on. I'm ready.
How are you preparing for the big game?
Oh, man, I am preparing. It starts with preparation age, baby. Preparation, hard work. I've been on it all day, every day. I've been like working out. I've been push-ups, pull-ups, P90X. I passed that a long time ago. I'm like P180XL. It's amazing.
Brian, what did you think when you heard you were going up against Chuck Mingo this year?
Make sure you get more empty parking spaces. That's inspiring.
That's my answer.
Well, Brian, what is your opponent's biggest weakness, and how do you exploit it?
His neck and his crotch is his biggest weakness, and my fist is the answer to that.
How do you get yourself psyched up for this game?
It's the basics, brother. It's the basics. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. It's the basic disciplines, and for an extra shot of protein, I've had a secret system I've been working. Chuck and I share the same bathroom, and so I've been gathering up his toenail clippings for a secret source of protein. Dude, tell you what, I even dance better.
As you reflect back, what's been your biggest challenge this preaching season?
You know, I think my biggest challenge this season is a challenge every season. You feel like a service or experience with God is going to be judged solely on the preaching, solely on that. And that is just a grind that just doesn't go away. Anyone feels it. Any preacher, any pastor, Chuck feels it, I feel it. It's just every day hitting the same nail. And then every year, you go, I got through another year. Can I do it again? And that's a huge responsibility that just doesn't go away.
Everyone's here today having a great time. Is this actually church?
Yes, it actually is church. Whenever you have people who are gathered together to try to go beyond a normal purpose to connect with God, there is church right there. It's interesting. We have a hard time seeing this as church, but if you showed the average church in America to a follower of Christ in the first century, they'd say, wait a minute, pews? You sit in pews in rows and you fit, we've never seen a pew. That's not church. Wait a whole. So we've got to get beyond our cultural biases to see who God really is and to see the systems and to see the values that are transcendent for him. And I think you'll find those transcendent systems and values here at Crossroads thriving and helping other people grow.
So Brian, if you were a real athlete, what would that be like?
Real athlete? What do you mean real athlete? I'm every bit of an athlete as you. Yes, exactly right. Every bit, if not more than you. Right now, you want to see who's more athletic?
Sure, let's
absolutely.
Do it. Absolutely,
come yeah. on.
Look at your body. Spring,
taking
right here,
down,
right here.
Taking down a former athlete who used to play and do stuff. Let's go. One, two, three, four. I'm not seeing
five.
It. I'm seeing you sweat. You can't do this. You can't keep up with me.
You're coming up lame. How many more
are we doing these?
You're breathing heavy.
That's the point.
Your cardio's crashing.
That's right. Oh, how about touching that chest? All right, that's enough. With his jacket still on. That's good stuff.
Of course, I won the push-up contest, guys. Totally won that one. Mark and Greg, back to you.
Fantastic, Solomon. He is better every year. The over-under for Tone was, I think, 17 push-ups. I'm not sure. But he did very well. It is that time. We definitely need to look at how to keep these guys reined in during this service.
That's right, Mark. Well, there are a few rules to today's game. Each preacher will have 2 9-minute quarters. They must use 3 reference sources, one of which must be the Bible. They'll also have to incorporate the use of a random phrase. Now, these phrases are totally random. They know nothing about them. We've got a few in the can already, but all weekend long, you've got an opportunity to go tweet us your random phrases at hashtag SBRandomPhrase. We're asking that you keep them short, and keep them clean, and as usual, the referee will have complete jurisdiction over today's competition.
My goodness, that is a lot of rules, Greg. Brian's going to have trouble keeping them straight.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually impossible. It should be fun to watch. So, without further ado, let's head down to the field and meet today's players.
And now, for this year's starting lineups, introducing a Super Bowl of preaching veteran, a pulpit-pounding pastor from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's a master of the motorcycle and samurai of the scripture. The man, the myth, the legend, Brian Toe! Super Bowl of preaching fan favorite, with a smile that melts hearts and a skull that blinds eyes. He's an Olympian of the Old Testament and ninja of the New. He's lean, he's mean, he's a bald preaching machine, Chuck Mingo!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you go in here, put your hands in the air, make them fall. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go
unbelievable, Mark. Unbelievable show of showboating going on the field as we speak.
And once again, we unfortunately see some uncomfortable stretching And by the grace of God, Solomon took the yoga pants out of Tome's locker.
Unbelievable. Well, we've heard the rules and we've met the players. Mark, give us the keys to the game today.
Oh, no. I can't get past that right now.
He's going to hurt himself before he even starts, I believe.
I'm thankful the yoga pants are gone. The bottom line is, if they do these three things, everything's going to be just terrific. Number one, have to do the random phrase. If you miss those points, it's going to be vital. Secondly, limit those penalties. And finally, use the biblical references. And that will be tough for Brian, but we'll see.
That's all right. Well, hey, without further ado, let's send it down to the field for today's esteemed referee, Florence campus pastor, Terry Phillips.
Gentlemen, bring it in for the coin toss. I want a good, clean game. Brian, as the home team, you'll call the coin toss in the air.
Heads, be rolling.
It is heads. Do you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Clean.
Brian, please pick your random phrase. Your random phrase is... The older I get, the more I understand Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Britney's 2007 meltdown.
The older he gets.
Well, believe it or not, we're going to have a lot of fun today. And we're also going to dig into some stuff that I think is going to be spiritually helpful for all of us. Let's pray before we go any further. God, thank you for bringing us here today on this national holiday of the Super Bowl weekend to be able to have fun and to learn and to grow. And maybe for some of us to sense you for the very first time. I pray that's what happens and you'd use everything that happens in our time together for that end. And I pray these things according to your character, the person of Jesus. Amen. Man, all right, so we're gonna preach through the 14th annual Super Bowl preaching, a really fascinating story in the Bible. Chuck and I are going to go back and forth on it. It comes to the book of John, chapter 8, and let me just read it for us. It goes like this. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him, so they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Now, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." This is a very controversial passage in some scholastic circles because some of the oldest transcripts of the book of John in the New Testament don't contain this specific story, and yet this persists to be in the Bible. It persists because people saw it and thought that it was originally in the book of Luke, and then maybe that's why it wasn't in the original book of some of the oldest books of John. Others have just remarked that the reason why it keeps being in there is all the early followers of Jesus and every follower since looks at that story and goes, "Yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah, that is exactly him. That's how he operates over and over and over. His DNA, his fingerprints are all through it." I mean, just imagine the story. He's sitting and he's teaching, and all of a sudden a woman who in the very act of adultery has been caught having adultery is dragged by a bunch of religious people. We're going to talk about religion today, the difference between religion and a relationship with God. That's the big dichotomy. Religion versus relationship with God, and the religious people are bringing this woman who's been caught in adultery to Jesus. And you think, well, there's something missing here. why are they just bringing this woman? This is part of the thing that religion does, because being religious is not the same thing as having a relationship with God. Those things can actually be diametrically opposed. You can be very religious, knowing what the rules are and following the rules, and have no relationship at all. Totally different. And these religious people, they understand the rules. But here's a question. The Bible also says that men shouldn't have adultery either. It doesn't just say that women shouldn't. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10, it says, if a man commits adultery with the wife or his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So maybe the religious people might be onto something and taking somebody and having her stoned. But the question is, why not the guy? I mean, as far as I know, the old saying is true, it takes two to tango. Actually, I think the Bible says, it taketh two-eth to tangoeth, I think is what it says. Where's the guy? Where's the guy? This is the setup. These religious people aren't following the rules of honesty. They're selectively picking what rules they want for themselves. They only bring the woman. Now, religious people tend to be very, very selective on the rules. Very, very selective. So we can be very big on protecting unborn human life and yet not big at all on protecting a life that's in poverty and stroking a check to make that happen. We ignore those rules. We're very, very big on following the rule of reading the Bible, but the rule of going and reaching new people, religious people aren't very good at. They tend to be part of very small, dying things and unable to reach new folks. Being religious is about following the rules. It's fascinating how oftentimes these rules are incredibly selective. See, these religious people, they are down on Jesus in part because they're jealous of his popularity. Right before this story starts in John 8, it says, in the morning he came to the temple, and all the people came to him, and they sat down and he taught them. They're saying, gosh, there's people coming from all over the place to be with Jesus. Why is it? It's because he offers something more than just rules. He offers relationship. I don't know about you, but I'm not drawn to relationships through rules. If you give me the rules and say, if you do these rules, then you can have a relationship, I don't want a relationship with you. That means nothing to me. You know, when we're married, we may take vows. Those are in a sense, articulating the rules that we want to live by, in a sense, but that's not the center of what's happening. Rules come after the relationship. The relationship is what brings us life. I'll tell you what, I have broken more rules than I can count for. I've taken substances I shouldn't have taken. I've said lies I shouldn't have said. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, actually, the harder it is to follow Christ. The older I get, the more I understand Britney's 2007 meltdown.
You can see it
coming. I get that.
There it is.
Well done. And there he is. Ooh.
A little taunting.
A little trash talk with a little piece of paper.
Bam! Yes.
Oh. Flag from Phillips.
Unpreacher-like conduct, excessive celebration. Yeah. There will be a three-point penalty assessed at the end of the quarter. You maintain possession of the Bible.
Great call by the referee.
Now, I think any of us who watch football would be able to admit that the NFL officiating this last year was awful. It was just awful.
Where's it going?
And one of the reasons why it was so awful is because the rules have become so complicated. Like, how hard is it to understand, I have the ball 2 feet in and it's a catch? We keep redefining the rules of what a catch are. No one even knows what a catch is or isn't any longer. And this is why so many of us have been turned off to God, is because religion keeps giving us these complicated rules. It keeps telling us, you have to do this and you can't do that. It keeps telling me, if you've done that, then you can't have that. And who can keep all the rules straight? And so, therefore, We see people dropping away from churches, like, you know, just going away. We see people going away from any understanding of God because the rules are confusing. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't come to give us rules. Jesus didn't come to give us regulations. He doesn't do that. He comes to have a relationship with this woman who is brought to him after an adulterous affair. We see him honing into her as a human being. When everyone else is judging her and coming down on her, he is looking to develop a relationship with her. Religion is spelled D-O-N-T. Don't. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't drink. Don't chew. Don't date the girls who do. Don't. And Jesus, out of relationship, he spells it done, D-O-N. He says, I've done for you what you couldn't do on your own. I've gone and been where you need to be. I love you. What you need to do to satisfy God, I've already done. Friends, we need to be more in tune with who a relationship with Jesus is instead of the rules that religion tries to overwhelm us with.
Strong.
Touchdown, Brian Jones. Brian, you received 7 points for a great message. In addition, 3 points for use of the phrase. You also had a 3-point penalty, resulting in end of first quarter score. Brian Tome, 7. Chuck Mingo, 0. That's the end of the first quarter.
Wow. Wow. Very strong start. I like the Jesus spells it done. Greg, your thoughts on the quarter?
I agree. You know, we got some early Bible out of Tome. Bible I expect from him. It taketh, toeth, to tangoeth. He's coming out strong.
I couldn't find that one, but we know what you're all here for. It's the commercials. Let's take this quick break from a word from our sponsors.
Love is in the details. Details that are purely thoughtful, purely fancy feasts, like tuna, white meat chicken, and never any byproducts or fillers. We feed our cats the best because we feed them to dogs. Introducing Fancy Feast Purely Natural Cat Food. Food for dogs made of cats. Available in 2 grinds, fine for digestion, or chunky with bits of real fur for an authentic taste your dog will love. Finally, a 100% all-natural cat that you can feel good feeding your dog. Purely Cat, Purely Fancy Feast.
Welcome to the family business! This is my brother Eddie. He was born in the USA! This is my brother Lucky. He's a real warrior. Together we're brothers-in-law! Discount attorneys. Half off personal injury suits this week only!
If we lose your case, we'll shave our heads. That's a guarantee.
But here's a little secret.
We never lose!
Brothers-in-law!
Has this ever happened to you?
Hey, boss. I got an internet work. What are my options?
Well, employee, your options are to quit complaining. No! We can help! We're real lawyers! Injuries.
Lost wages.
Dog custody.
Your neighbors won't stop looking in your window.
Boy band stalking.
Hot coffee spills.
And grandpa stole your car.
Sandwich fraud.
Roommate violations.
Heavy metal whiplash.
Your son is a huge disappointment.
Let's sue everybody.
Brothers in law. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. We're real lawyers.
My step in my brave journey was to spend more time in the Word with God in the midst of my busy, busy life of being a new husband, new father, and in doing so, I was able really to experience the love of God as a father, which is something I really had a hard time grasping.
My heading going into the brave journey was to explore international adoption. I was very scared. I didn't feel like I had the energy to parent a fourth child and to go back to toddler years. And I just didn't feel worthy of that.
Brave was life-changing for me. I went into the journey feeling unworthy, unredeemable, and I didn't think salvation was an option for me.
Following the brave journey, God gave me the courage to go ahead and follow my dream. And that dream was to become a marketing professor at Xavier University. I left a great job that I'd been at for 9 years, plenty of friends, really good money. It was his plan, and I was ready to go.
The way I walk out in my life now is constantly reminding myself that God wants me as his son, that God is overwhelmed by my love for him, and that he loves me as a son. I now also get to see that as a father to 2 young, beautiful daughters, and I get to see his love again in that way.
God placed on my heart to be baptized at the end of the journey, and I am deathly afraid of water. So to be obedient in that was just awe-inspiring.
Chuck talked about storms and about how when you step off the boat, you're gonna fall and that it's gonna take you to the end of yourself. And that's exactly how I was feeling at the time. But we decided to say yes. And a year later, this May, we will be traveling to China to pick up our daughter.
This experience has been amazing. It's been among the most life-changing events I've ever experienced.
I'm burning my lies, walking in truth with Christ, and now I have a new lease on life.
I am worthy and I am brave.
I am loved and I am brave.
I'm blessed and I'm brave.
Amazing, amazing. I love it. So those are actually real people from this community. They're real stories. They went through something last year that we call the Brave Journey. As you saw, we're going to be doing it again this year. It starts April 2nd and 3rd.
We'd love to invite everybody to get involved in these all-church journeys. Truly life-changing and a great opportunity to make some more friends so that we can do life together. Again, that's starting up right after Easter.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, buckle up. Let's head back down to the field for the start of the second quarter.
Chuck, you'll have possession of the Bible for the second quarter. Please go ahead and pick your random phrase. Your random phrase is, my mind said crunches, but my stomach auto-corrected it to cupcakes.
I don't know if he can get that one out. It's so challenging.
We'll see.
So, you know, this big game for the weekend is really, it comes down to the tale of two quarterbacks. You know, one quarterback, we could say, is kind of over the hill. You know, a little bit at the end of their prime, a little bit long in the tooth. You know, the other side, you got a quarterback that is, you know, pretty attractive. He's had a heck of a season, knocking it out of the park. Not to mention that in the Super Bowl, you got Peyton Manning versus Cam Newton. I mean, this is going to be an amazing.
Threw the flag.
Personal foul, roughing the pastor. There'll be a 3-point penalty assessed at the end of the
nice
quarter.
Call.
You maintain possession of the Bible.
Well done from Phillips.
In the real game, in the Super Bowl, one of the things that Peyton Manning and Cam Newton have in common is they are both incredible at breaking down defenses. And this is exactly what we see Jesus doing in this situation with this woman. He's breaking down the religious defense. You know, the truth is, just like in the NFL, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they're disguising their scheme. They're disguising what it is that they're really after. And the commentary in the story tells us exactly what their goal is. In verse 6, it says, they said this to test him, to test Jesus, that they might have some charge to bring against him. I mean, come on, this is a no-brainer, right? Got a woman caught in adultery. The law is abundantly clear. The rules say she should be stoned. And they're trying to put Jesus between a rock and a hard place. Because if Jesus agrees with them, they'll say, see, he's just like us. He's just like us. He doesn't care about this woman. And if he says, no, this should be a merciful situation, they'll say, well, you don't care about the rules. You don't uphold the law of Moses. So they were trying to catch Jesus in condemnation. That's exactly what they had in mind. They wanted to condemn him. But Jesus has a different motive. And he actually has this motive, I think, for everybody, for both the teachers and also for the woman. His motive is change. And in that, we see the difference between Jesus and relationship with him and religion. Because religion is about condemnation. But relationship with Jesus is all about change. And I just want you to understand the drama in this moment. How deeply dramatic this scene was and would have been as it was taking place in front of the temple. And I think better than my words, there's a scene from a movie that artistically displays this in a powerful way.
Thank you.
is really incredible, because what he does first is he puts himself between the woman and her accusers. We don't know what he was drawing on the ground. When he gets down, we don't know what he was drawing. But what he was doing is giving himself an opportunity to put these religious leaders in their place. Because you know what he says? He stands up and he says to them, okay, this woman is in the wrong. She is in the wrong. Now, the one of you who is without sin, why don't you be the first to stone her? He was calling out their own hypocrisy. He was calling out their own self-righteousness. And in doing so, he was putting himself between the woman and her accusers. And I love what it says. They walked away from the oldest to the youngest. You know what? I think when Jesus called them out, they recognized, okay, if all of my business was put out on the street, there'd be some things to stone me for. I mean, there's something to judge in all of us. Some of us get judged because of choices we make financially. Others of us feel judged because of choices we make physically. You know, my mind said crunches, but my stomach was saying cupcakes, and we feel judged by that. We feel judged by that.
Pretty good.
Like he planned it all along. Pretty good.
But Jesus causes these men to walk away, and he puts himself between the woman and the accusers. But here's where Jesus and the power of relationship with him is so amazing. After that happens, the next thing he does is he challenges the woman to change. But he doesn't do it from a place of rule following. He does it from a place of relationship. I love the simple, powerful question he asks her. He says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? I mean, she had to feel judged. She had to feel out there. And yet, Jesus asked her a powerful question for her to recognize: your condemners, the people who wanted to stone you, they are gone. And she says, they're gone. There's no one here. And I love what Jesus says next. He says, neither do I condemn you. And from now on, sin no more. See, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Because you know what? The world is this way. The world says when it comes to things that are right or wrong, you only have two choices. You got to either be a condemner, you got to be a judgmental person, or you got to say, hey, everything is okay. But the beauty of Jesus is in the context of relationship, he does not condemn the woman, but he also doesn't condone her behavior. He actually gives her what she needs, what I need, which is a chance for real change. He gives her a chance for real change. Man, when I think about my story is very much about trying hard to keep the rules, and you know what? It didn't work for me. That's not where change came for me. That's not where health and wholeness came for me. And it was only when I got to the end of myself and recognized I couldn't keep the rules that I could get what I really needed, which is undeserved grace from Jesus and a challenge to change my life. I can remember specifically guys that came in my life and said, Chuck, the way you are treating women needs to change. And it's not about rules. It's about you understanding that all of the approval you're trying to seek from women, God wants to give that to you. And if you can understand that and receive that, it empowers you to go and leave your life of sin. Man, that's what changed me. That's what changed me. Because the very same thing Jesus did for this woman is what he does for you and for me. If you'll receive it, I love what it says in Colossians 1:22. It says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. Jesus died on a cross to put himself between you and me and our accusation. And it says he did that through death to present you holy in his sight. That's all about change. Without blemish and free from accusation. Who wants to be free from accusation? We all do. We all do. Anybody out here want to change? Anybody out here want to be different than you are right now? See, places in your life where you'd like to go to a new place. Here is the powerful thing. Be reconciled to God. The way to change is relationship with Jesus. It is not more rule keeping. And you know what? Jesus is inviting you in the same way he invited this woman to come and experience that power and to change your life. And you can just start with a simple prayer. There's no formula for prayer. It doesn't have to be perfect. You might be there and you might say right now, you know what? If even some of what I've heard this first half of this football thing is true about Jesus, I want to know that Jesus. Man, that's a prayer. And if you pray that, I tell you what, there is change for you. Because religion brings condemnation, but relationship with Jesus brings real change.
Wow. Touchdown, Chuck Mingo. Yeah. Chuck, you're awarded 7 points for a great message. In addition, 3 points for use of the phrase. You also had a 3-point penalty resulting in end of first half score. Brian Tomes 7, Chuck Mingo 7. That's the end of the first half.
Impressive response by Mingo. We're all tied up. Mark, what'd you see in the first half?
Amazing vulnerability, a lot of Bible, very strong Bible, and as we worried, the penalties have cost both players.
That's right. Well, we'll see what happens. Hey, we've got a halftime show coming up, but first, this commercial break.
Join FanDuel Duel now, the hottest new way to make real money.
Daily fantasy sports are banned as illegal gambling in 7 states already. In a FanDuel Duel League, you can win real money by guessing which state will be next.
Reading news about FanDuel's rocky legal standings is already exciting for me. This takes it to a whole new level.
Just choose a league, pick your states, and get your cash winnings after the next ban.
My friends love to sit around and debate the legality of FanDuel and which state's going to wise up next. Now I can do that in a FanDuel Duel League and win real money doing it.
Sign up now while states are still figuring out how to regulate daily fantasy sites. Use offer code BARELYLEGAL and we'll match your first deposit up to $200.
Is it gambling? Is it a game of skill? I'll let a Colorado judge be the judge of that.
Laws don't explicitly ban fantasy sports yet. Win big in a FanDuel Duel League as state legislatures pull their heads out of the sand and plug up this shady loophole.
The Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006 left a large loophole for online fantasy sports, and FanDuel's exploiting that to make money hand over fist. But I think the real question is, will Florida ever catch on?
Go to FanDuelDuel.com today.
Hi, I'm Brian Tome, and I have DirecTV.
And I'm Brian Noe. And I have cable.
With DirecTV, I can watch my shows and be worry-free.
I worry about my cable going out. And I'm terrified of lawnmowers.
Did you know that DirecTV ranked higher than traditional cable for the 14th year in a row?
Did you know I've already been peed on by 4 dogs today? Hey! Get your wiener weenie dog out of here! Get! It's not even a dog! Oh, come on!
So don't be like this, me. Get rid of cable. Upgrade to DirecTV. Just call 1-800-DIRECTV. Also, your price will triple in 3 months.
Once again, our creative team doing a fabulous job. I'm sure all of us have different commercials we consider our favorite. For me so far, it has to be Fancy Feast, the dog cat food or cat dog food.
Oh, man.
Whatever it is. I'm sorry to say that.
I love looking out for the cat lovers shaking their heads. So fun. So fun.
Hey, so sorry.
I want to call out the Reach Out commercial. You saw all those different places we go. One in particular, you know, this is going to be our 10th year going down to rebuild in New Orleans. And this summer, taking down 250 people on a trip to build houses, build into kids. You can find out more at crossroadsgo.net. Whether it's your first time or you've been around here for years, we would love for you to go to New Orleans with us this year.
We've been waiting a year to see how they could follow up the live performance of last year's Super Bowl. At this point, it's time to get out of your chairs, stand on your feet, and get ready for the Crossroads Super Bowl Halftime Show!
Oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back, she said shut up! Is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me.
All right, put your hands together, Crossroads.
We were victims of the night. The chemical, physical, kryptonite. Hell was just
to the bass and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together, bound to get together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. My discotheque, Juliet, teenage dream. I felt it in my chest as she looked at me. I knew we were born to be together, born to be together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. For it said, oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up. Woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh. Shut up and dance with me.
Oh, come on, girl. Hey.
Watch me whip, whip, watch me nay-nay.
Can we do
now
it?
Watch me whip,
your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, shut up and dance. Don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. Shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, shut up.
Plays that much fun. You guys can have a seat. And if you have any of these blow up inflatable light up balls, if you can push them to the front, that'd be great. If we have not met, it's great to meet you all. My name is Lena Tome. I'm the Crossroads Uptown campus pastor, and I want to welcome you all to the 14th Super Bowl of preaching. You know, a few years ago, we realized that Super Bowl weekend was the least attended church weekend in the year, all across the country, and we said, what would it look like for us to flip that? What would it look like for it to be the most attended weekend that Crossroads has every year? And so we came up with this little thing called the Super Bowl of Preaching, and 14 years later, it is our most attended weekend all year. So, yeah, it's... And are you guys having fun yet? Yes. Hey, if it's your first time here, it is not like this every weekend, but I will say it's still pretty awesome. So we'd love to have you back on a regular weekend. And right now, we are going to have a time to be generous. If you are new here, there's no pressure. But if you're on the Crossroads team, you know that this is really exciting for us because we don't hoard our money and keep it to ourselves, but we push it out to things like freeing girls from sex slavery in India and caring for people who are in poverty here in Cincinnati and in South Africa. And we want our friends to understand who God is, hear about him in a language they can understand all across the city and across the world. And so that's what our money goes to when we give it to Crossroads. And so a bag's going to go down your aisle. And if you want to give with cash or check, you can. Or you can go to crossroads.net/give and give online. That's the way that I do it. And while we do that, we are going to have another commercial break. I'm really glad that you're here.
Hi, I'm Chuck Mingo, and I have DirecTV.
And I'm super creepy Uber driver Chuck Mingo, and I have cable.
DirecTV is a theater quality experience that I can have at home with all my friends.
My cable's out, so I make new friends through Uber. So what do you guys want to do tonight?
DirecTV is available anywhere, nationwide.
I'm available for trips downtown and to be your new best friend.
You're gonna have to sit up front. I have someone in the back. Don't be like this, Chuck Mingo. Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Only $19.95 a month for the first month.
Go out and get yourself a girl, boy. you ever feel like God's disappointed in you? Or that you can solve life with a rule book? Or maybe that life should be a little more fair? That's called religion. Religion is a wall between you and God, built brick by brick with shame and judgment and pride and insecurity. The opposite of religion is relationship. And relationship gives me incredible purpose and hope and peace. The opposite of religion is Jesus. See, the more I know Jesus, the more I hate religion.
Life is about movement. The Fitbit Deuce tracks your bowel movements and syncs their progress automatically in real time. Wirelessly track and log valuable data on weight, travel time, length, color, and more. Compete with friends and compare logs. Pinpoint GI location gives you up-to-the-minute ETA alerts. So, you'll know when to keep the after-lunch meeting and when to stall. Make number two your number one priority. Just retrieve and reuse. The Fitbit Deuce.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, just retrieve and reuse.
That has stolen the show for me.
We're headed to the second half. Mark, tell us what to look for.
Both players have put it on the line. Great play. Lots of Bible. I'm thinking whoever does something really special this half is going to pull away.
All right, we'll see. Let's head down to the field for the start of the second half.
Brian Tome, you'll have the Bible for the third quarter. Please retrieve your random phrase. One random phrase, please. Your random phrase is... I wish I went to Donald Trump's barber.
Oh, looks like he might have already.
Oh, man. So, every quarter we're trying to look at what are some of the differences between Jesus and religion, which we're going to blow out in a much larger degree in the next series of Crossroads, which I'm really, really excited about. So this quarter, I want to look at what it looks like to be an insider instead of being an outsider. Part of the reason why religion loves rules is religion loves to define who's in and who's out. That's how you know who's in and who's out. What rules are you following? What rules are you keeping? What rules are you adhering to? And it doesn't matter what religion it is, and all of history, that is sort of the way it goes. And it's all about who's in, who's on the in club. And what we see with Jesus comes and Jesus is about the outsider, not just the insider. He actually does an Omaha. Omaha, Omaha. You're going to hear Peyton Manning saying that over and over and over again. Omaha, Omaha. Finally, one of his old teammates came out and revealed what Omaha means. It basically means the opposite. So if they're running a dive on the right side of the line, and he says, Omaha, Omaha, they're going to now run it on the left side of the line. Jesus comes out and says, Omaha, Omaha, to all who think that religion is about who's in the club, to think that religion's about having some small holy huddle. He says, no, it's absolutely the opposite. And the reason why his words and his movement grow so much is because he came for people who were outside. He came for people who thought they weren't good enough. He came for people who didn't understand the rules. Came for people who didn't have the tenacity to keep the rules. What he does with this woman can't be fully understood unless you see what's said about him in the very first chapter of the book of John in which this story is recorded. In John chapter 1:14, it talks about Jesus and said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth," full of grace and truth. These are two things that seem to be in opposition to one another all the time, yet Jesus had both of these things. Grace, the ability to cut slack, and truth, the ability to understand there was right and wrong and adhere to it. When I first started wrestling with the conundrum of this verse, I ended up being different. I was changed. This was one of the huge, huge spiritual formation things inside of me. If you came to Awaited, I mentioned Awaited when I lied on a reading report, the amount of hours I had to log during seminary. I lied about that. And boy, the rest of the story is this. When I lied about and falsified my report, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew that. And I also knew it wasn't just wrong, it was stupid. I'm studying for ministry, and I'm cheating to go to ministry. I did it, and once I followed through on it, then I was racked with guilt. I was racked with all kinds of stuff of feeling disqualified. How can I ask God to possibly be involved in my life as I try to get involved in other people's lives when I've taken a shortcut, where I haven't been truthful? And I decided to go and confess to my seminary theological professor. And I'll never forget going in, wondering if he was going to kick me out of school, if I was going to get an F for that. I had all the reasons why. Whenever you break the rules, you have all the reasons, right? So I was convincing myself, well, it was just because I happened to be going to seminary full-time at two different places over a three-week period as I was flip-flopping, so that's why. Or, well, a lot of these people don't have to have a full-time job as well, and have a family and a young baby they weren't expecting. I mean, I can't, you know, you have all these reasons to justify being outside of the truth, yet I realized that I was wrong. And so when I went in, I'll never forget Dr. Wayne Spear. He said, "Well, you're forgiven. There is something in the Bible that's called grace. We're studying about that. And you're forgiven." I was like, oh my gosh. That was when one of the key places where I saw truth and I saw grace come together at the same time. It caused me to actually have a tattoo years later put on my body. The only tattoo I have on my body, here it is right here. It's on my left shoulder.
Oh, my. Wow.
Actually, no, that is not my body because my nipples aren't that erect. But that is that absolutely.
Oh, inappropriate. Yeah.
Inappropriate. Encroachment. Use of stunt nipples for an illustration. There'll be a 3-point penalty at the end of the quarter. You maintain possession of the Bible.
I was more offended by the word erect. So
it wasn't the nipple.
Really weird.
Oh, my word.
It's been a defining thing for me. So defining that I have a bike that I've rebuilt, and it's in a bike show this weekend, the Ryan Geist Bike Show. And on a custom insignia I've made to go inside of the tank is that tattoo. It's the message of grace and truth. I think we have a picture of that as well. So it's a message of grace and truth. And why do I put that on the tank? I put that on the tank because people are curious about that. What's that mean? Grace and truth coming together with the thorns of Jesus when he was on the cross around it. What's that? It gives me the opportunity to talk to people who are on the outside, many of us on the outside, and explain what it means to be on the inside of a relationship with Jesus. And this is what he's about. When he's down on the ground and he's doodling, not sure, as Chuck said really well, not sure if he's writing out their sins, if he's just doodling and wasting time for them to be convicted, if he's doing according to Roman law, which was writing something down before you would say it, or if he's doing as the Old Testament says, I think it's the book of Zechariah, that God will write on the dust that which is true. We don't know any of those things, but he's giving time. He's giving time. And they drop their rocks and they leave, and guess what? Those religious people, he's bummed that they leave. Because you know what? Jesus wants a relationship with religious people too. He's not like, oh, there you are. Okay, you're gone. No. He wants them to drop their rocks and to stay. Jesus wants a relationship with all people. Whether you're in church, out of church, Republican, Democrat, white, black, adulterer, virgin. He wants a relationship with all people. This is who he is. This is what he's done. And he says this woman, 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 who are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you? She says, no one. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Go and leave it. Get away from it. This is huge. Here we see here, truth and grace. The grace of we're not going to stone you, we're going to give you grace, and the truth that something isn't right, and you need to stop it right now. Stop it. When I recognize that something wasn't right with my hair, I wish I would have went to Donald Trump's barber earlier on.
There it is. Not enough hair up front to sport the Trump do, I don't think.
The comb over's coming.
He says to her, look, I'm about truth. This adultery, it's not a good idea. Stop it. Stop it. And I don't condemn you, and I invite you into relationship with me. This is a conundrum that many of us are just unable to hold to. And Jesus is able to hold to it, and it brings power. And when he sees religious people driving others away only because they're believing in truth, 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 or religious people as well who only believe in grace, grace, grace. I know religious people who believe in grace, which means they never say anything is right or wrong. Whatever you want to believe is okay. Whatever you want to feel is okay. It's another form of religion, by the way, whether you're in church or not church. It's not defined anything as being right or wrong. Jesus washes and chases that away. He goes to town on the religious elite. He Yosemite Sams them. He Yosemite Sams them in one place in the book of Matthew. Here's what he says. He says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Woe to you. You travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. That's somebody who converts to your religion. And when he becomes a part of your religion, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Yes, this is Jesus talking here. Woe to you, blind guides. Woe to you, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Woe to you, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. Woe to you, hypocrites, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Dag, yeah, that's lovey-dovey coloring book Jesus right there. That's it. Well, I told you, he Yosemite Sams him there. You might have, if you're over 35, you remember Yosemite Sam in that classic scene? He's like, whoa, mule, whoa, 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 whoa. He's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. All of a sudden he gets all upset. He said, whoa, whoa, mule, whoa, whoa. When I say whoa, I mean whoa. Yeah, Yosemite Sams him. He said, whoa to you, whoa to you, not good. Any of us who would want to keep people, anyone away from relationship with Jesus, Jesus says, woe to you. There is grace. There is grace for you wherever you are. And the truth is, God has a higher vision for your life to be different going forward. That is the beauty of Jesus.
Touchdown, Brian Tome. Brian, you're awarded 7 points for a great message. In addition, 3 points for use of the phrase. You also had a 3-point penalty resulting in end of third quarter score. Brian Tome, 14. Chuck Mingo, 7. That's the end of the third quarter.
Wow. Very powerful quarter. Masterful by Brian. If he could have just laid off the nipple comment, Greg.
Agree. I had a question. Did he say he lied in seminary or lied about going to seminary?
Well, whatever the answer is, we are going back down for Chuck's final quarter. Let's hear it, Terry.
Chuck Mingo, you'll have the Bible for the third quarter. Please pick your random phrase. And your random phrase is, I'd rather watch The Notebook 10 times.
Ooh, softy.
So as we kind of summarize this, I want to apply this story to us. Why would we talk about this story that happened thousands of years ago today in the Super Bowl of preaching? And it's because of this. Because I think the beginning of relationship with God is seeing him the way he is. And that's exactly what this story does for us. It helps us see God because it helps us see Jesus the way he really is. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Meaning, while we can't see God, the beauty of this relationship is through Jesus, God put on flesh and blood so we could understand him, so we could have a walking, breathing model of what God is like. And we see it in this story. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why we look to Jesus to see what God is like. You know, some of us, as we think about this story, if we're honest, we're more like the Pharisees when it comes to this religion thing. We are rule keepers, and we tend to want to get our just due as rule keepers. Anybody willing to admit that that's kind of your wiring? That's certainly my wiring. And yet, on the other side, there may be people in here who feel like that woman. You feel judged. And here's the thing. At the end of this interaction with Jesus, it is abundantly clear which of those two saw God for who he really is. It's the woman. It's the woman. She saw God for the way he really is. And here's what she knows about relationship with Jesus that Jesus wants you to know about relationship with him. Jefferson Bethke put it this way. He said, the truth is God doesn't grade on a curve. He grades on a cross. A grace economy is backward to most of us. Those who think they qualify don't. And those who admit they don't qualify do. Friends, that's good news. That's good news for me because I'm not perfect. It's good news for me. And what I see is that religion tends to distort our view of God. And yet relationship through Jesus is actually what redeems our view of God. There's a verse that I have been just memorizing. I think this verse is so meaningful and powerful. And I just love it. It's 2 Corinthians 7:10. And it says this, godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. Who would want to live with no regrets? Man, I want to live with no regrets. And the beautiful thing is the closer you get to Jesus, the more that you'll experience the kind of repentance that leads to more salvation and doesn't leave regrets. What do I mean by repentance? Repentance simply means to change direction. There's no doubt in my mind that this woman, after this encounter with Jesus, changed her direction. She left change. She left different. If she was in that adulterous affair because she was trying to seek approval from a man, she saw in Jesus what it meant to have the approval of God, and that changed her. I'd rather watch The Notebook 10 times than miss out on the beauty of a change like that that Jesus brings. I'm telling you. It is amazing what he brings.
The crowd loves it.
It's amazing grace.
They like it.
It's amazing grace. This woman was caught. She was guilty. She was going to die that day. Jesus saved her life. And you know what? He saved my life. And my life was saved through grace. My life was not saved by rules. My life was saved by grace. There's a grace story in the Super Bowl this weekend, and you probably heard it. And if you haven't, I can't wait to share it with you. It's the story of Katina Smith. Katina Smith is the mom of one of the all-pro wide receivers for the Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas. And for the first time in his football career, including high school, she's going to be able to see her son from the sidelines play a football game. She's not been able to do that for the last 20 years because for the last 20 years she was in prison on drug charges. Left her son when he was 3 years old. And today, this weekend, she's going to be able to experience her son play football because she received a pardon. She received the pardon and was released on her sentence early. Now, whether you agree with that governmental system or not, it's a powerful description of what Jesus offers to you and to me. I was so moved by this that I went and actually read the letter that accompanies a governmental pardon. I just want to read a little bit of it to you. It says this, I am granting your application because you have the potential to turn your life around. Does that sound like what Jesus would say to that woman? The potential to turn your life around. Remember, you have the capacity to make good choices. I believe in your potential to prove the doubters wrong and change your life for the better. Katina Smith has been given a chance to change direction, and that's what relationship with Jesus does. It gives us an opportunity and the power to change direction because we see God as not only obsessively about the rules, but about relationship. Let me tell you something. Death to religion. I don't want religion. I want relationship with Jesus, and I hope you do too. I hope you do too, because here's the thing. God did not come for rule followers. He came for people who were interested in relationship. Jesus did not die on a cross for you to live in condemnation, but for you to have real life change. Jesus loves you and doesn't have a life of shame for you. He wants you to live a life of strength. And the beauty is, it's not based on what you and I do, but it's based on what he did for us. Because the truth is, God doesn't want to win an argument with you. He wants to win you. He wants to win me. He wants relationship with us.
So man, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, he asks you the same question he asked the woman. Where are your accusers? I don't condemn you either. Now change direction, repent. The kind that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Man, that is amazing grace. It's so amazing, it'll leave you speechless, but it'll make you sing. You know, when you go to a football game, if you have been to a game here with the Bengals or if you've gone to any professional football game, they at some point sing the national anthem. Why? They sing it because in the midst of all the festivities, it's a reminder that we live in a country where we experience a level of freedom that enables us to enjoy things like public football games. And we want to remember the context underneath which that happens. Well, in the same way, there's a song that could very well be the anthem for the series that we're going into. I really hope you come back for the Death to Religion series, where every week we're going to be looking at the beauty of the grace and truth reality of relationship with Jesus and how it flies in the face of religion, as is more freeing than religion, and is actually a beautiful thing that you're invited into. And so in the same way that there's a national anthem that we sing, I think that old fuddy-duddy song, Amazing Grace, could be the anthem for this series. And maybe you've heard that song before. Maybe that's the one church song you knew. Maybe you were like, you know what, somebody invited me and I knew one of those pastors was going to sing Amazing Grace before this thing was over. Maybe I'm stepping right into your stereotype. But here's what I want you to know. Maybe that song has different meaning when you recognize that you have literally been rescued by a God who loves you. And despite your inability, my inability to keep the rules, says there is still an opportunity for you to be in relationship with me. So we're going to sing that song together. We're going to sing it together as an anthem. And maybe if you're here and you're in relationship with Jesus, you've been reminded today of just how amazing the grace of God is. And maybe you're not at that point yet. You're still questioning. And you're just going to listen to these words and let them be something that you can sit in, because perhaps for the first time, they have different meaning than just a fuddy-duddy religious song. Amazing Grace is not a religious song. It's a relationship song sung by people who have been rescued by the love of God. So would you sing that with me? Let's sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
When you experience grace, you see God as he really is. And that leads to freedom, and it leads to hope. And that's what Jesus invites you into.
Touchdown, Chuck Mingo. Chuck, you're awarded 7 points for a great message. In addition, 3 points for use of the phrase. That leaves an end of fourth quarter score of Brian Tone 14, Chuck Mingo 17. Chuck Mingo, you're the 2016 Super Bowl champion, and you'll be the proud recipient of a Fitbit Deuce.
Yes! The Fitbit Deuce.
Oh, my.
I can just say nipple. It is. That's what... Oh, God. Hey, we have fun today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Man, there's so many people who have made this happen, and we hope that there's been something you've encountered here today or a crossroads anywhere online. So great to have you. I hope you noticed we had a lot of crazy, crazy camera angles with the jib that was blocking some people's view in the live service. So it's great to have you here today. And next week, we're going to really blow this out of the next 2 weeks. I think it could be one of the most formative things that you could expose yourself to. And so I encourage you, go beyond just the sort of fun and the hype of a Super Bowl service and come on back next week at a crossroads at any place and see how God forms you and gets you ready for the future. And let's just pray right now. God, thank you for everyone who has sacrificed to make this happen and to be here. I pray that you continue to work in every life here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Mark, we do it every time. Who do you got? Got
to go with my heart, Peyton Manning. 21-18.
I agree. I don't care the score. Come on, Peyton. We need your parking spot. Don't forget your kids in Kids Club. Enjoy the game. See you, folks.
Have a great weekend.
Welcome to the family business. This is my brother, Eddie. He was born in the USA. This is my brother, Lucky. He's a real warrior. Oh.
One, two, three.
Sandwich fraud! Heavy metal whiplash! Ouch!
Great, thank you. Alright, do that again. Give me a snarl. You like,
ooh, yeah.
Try that again. Do it again.
I can channel some Macho Man things.
Wisconsin, push the baby out of the way. No! We're real lawyers. We can help.